देवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानाधिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदिता ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. दिस् इस् केण्टो 5, द आइलैंड ऑफ जम्बूद्वीप, एंड वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट नंबर 3. वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग आवर लॉन्ग डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ जम्बूद्वीप एंड इट्स इनहैबिटेंट्स. नाउ वी आर इन किम पुरुष वर्ष, where Lord Hanuman worships the Lord, chanting the following verses. I'll just, the first one is in prose. I don't see a word, so I'll just chant the Sanskrit. Om namo bhagavate uttama shlokaya, nama arya lakshana shila vrataya, nama upashikshitatmana upasata lokaya namaha sadhuvara nikashanaya namo brahmanya devaya mahapurushaya maharajaya nama iti. Translation, please, let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija Mantra Omkar. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold. But you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. There's no purport here, so we'll go on to text number 4.
यद्यद्विशुद्धानुभवमात्रमेकं स्वतेजसाध्वस्तगुणव्यवस्थं प्रत्यक्प्रशान्तं सुधियोपलम्भनां ह्यनामरूपं निरहं प्रपद्ये.
The Lord, whose pure form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one, without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is his purport.
the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in various expansions, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:39.
Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramapumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is always situated in various incarnations such as Ram, Narasimha, and many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original Personality of Godhead, known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, has expanded himself in many Vishnu forms, of which Lord Ramchandra is one. We know that the Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird Garuda and is equipped with different types of weapons in four hands. Therefore, we may doubt whether Lord Ramchandra could be in the same category, since he was carried by Hanuman, not by Garuda, and had neither four hands nor the Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. Consequently, this verse clarifies that Ramchandra is as good as Krishna, Ramadi Murti Shukala, although Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramchandra is not different from him. Ramchandra is unaffected by the modes of material nature, and therefore he is Prashanta, never disturbed by those modes. Anyone here been to South India? So you may have seen on some temples in the doorway, on one side they have Garuda, on the other side they have Hanuman. Srila Prabhupada is raising this doubt. As far as I know, Srila Prabhupada is raising this doubt. It's not in previous commentators that I've seen. That one might wonder, how do we accept this personality of God as Vishnu, Ramchandra? For that matter, how do we really know that anything in these verses is actually talking about Ramchandra at all? There's nothing explicit in the verses that specifically identifies the Lord as Ramchandra. So far, everything I think that's been mentioned is characteristic of all the Vishnu forms. Implicitly, we know that Hanuman is, his worshipful deity is Ramchandra, of course. And so naturally he's going to be worshipping the Lord in the form of Ram. But it hasn't been mentioned yet. That information we get by our Acharya, mainly Sridhar Swami, in his commentary. So Srila Prabhupada, for whatever reason, has chosen to emphasize that here. Sri Ramam pranamati paramartha rupena. This is what Sridhar Swami says. So this is the first half of the purport, is Srila Prabhupada emphasizing the oneness of the Lord's various incarnations. You have a question? Yeah, Rama is mentioned there. So anyway, there are seven things that Hanuman mentioned, the characteristics of the Lord in the previous verse. One of them is that he's Uttama Shloka. What does Uttama Shloka mean? He is glorified by the best of verse, always in verse. Because in that world, in the spiritual world, all speech is verse. Kathaganam Natyam Gamanam Apipamshi Priyasakhi, Brahma Samhita tells us. All of the katha is gana. It's all singing. And all of the walking is dancing. So, Uttama Shloka. And Arya Lakshana and Shila Vrata. These are two other characteristics. One, he has all the lakshanas, all the characteristics of the Aryan, someone who is interested in advancing or someone who is already advanced. And Shila Vrata, he's taken a vow of good character. These are the attributes of Ramchandra in particular. Then he says, Upashikshitatma. And according to Sridhar Swami, this means Sanyata Chitta. His consciousness has been subdued. His mind is under control, in other words, as Srila Prabhupada's translation reflects. Finally, he says, Upasita Loka. He is worshipped by all societies, by all planets and their inhabitants. Anusrita is the word used by Sridhar Swami to gloss this idea. It means they follow him. Also, we worship someone by following him, and not just with flowers and incense. Then he is Sadhuvada Nikashana. Nikashana means a stone that you test gold with. And so many people in human society may be called as sadhu, but we have to test. How do we test? He has to have these characteristics. So the Lord is actually himself the frame of reference. The Lord is the object of comparison. Anyone who would be considered a sadhu has to be compared to Lord Ramchandra, who is, as Prabhupada says here, consistent and exemplary in every way. Then he's Brahmanya Deva. He is the worshipped by the Brahmanas, and he's also very much inclined toward the Brahmanas. Both of those meanings are there. Finally, he's Mahapurusha. He's the great soul. Do we know another verse in which Lord Ramchandra in particular has been designated as Mahapurusha? Yes. 11:5:34. Chaktva sudus chacha surepsitara jilakshmim dharnamishta aryavachasa yaragararanyam mayamrigam dayete yepsitaman vadhavad vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. That verse in particular refers to three forms of the Lord. It refers to Lord Chaitanya, it refers to Ramchandra, and it refers to Lord Krishna. Everything mentioned in that verse is applicable to each of those three deities, depending on how you interpret it. So Sridhar Swami has taken that verse as Mahapurusha, and therefore it's not surprising that here we see that confirmed, because the Lord is again described by Hanuman as Mahapurusha, and finally as Maharaja. Now in text 4, we've already mentioned, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the oneness of the different forms of the Lord. And particularly he mentions Ram, Narasimha, and Krishna. These three forms in particular, out of all the Lord's multi-Vishnu forms, these three forms in particular are considered to be the chief forms, the chief expansions of Krishna. According to Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamritam, they are called Paravastarupas. Ram, Krishna, and Narasimha, these are the chief incarnations. Of course, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Ram and Narasimha, they expand from Krishna, but these are the three. And even still, if you go to India, particularly in Andhra Pradesh, you'll find people are worshipping Lord Narasimha Dev very enthusiastically. And all over India, people are worshipping Lord Ramchandra, and of course Krishna. So there's a very nice instructive purport that Srila Prabhupada has given us in Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam about this point. I'll just read it quickly. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Madhyalila chapter 9, text 155, Eka Ishwara Bhakter Dhyana Rup, Eka Ivigrahe Kare Nanakara Rup. There is no difference between the transcendental forms of the Lord. Different forms are manifest due to different attachments of different devotees. Actually, the Lord is one, but he appears in different forms just to satisfy his devotees. Now, Srila Prabhupada has explained this as follows. In Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated, Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham navayovanam cha. The Lord is Advaita, without differentiation. There is no difference between the forms of Krishna, Rama, Narayana, and Vishnu. All of them are one. Sometimes foolish people ask whether we chant, whether when we chant Rama in the Hare Krishna mantra, we refer to Lord Ramchandra or Lord Balaram. If a devotee says that the name Ram in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra refers to Balaram, a foolish person may become angry because to him the name Ram refers to Lord Ramchandra. Actually, there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram. It doesn't matter if one chants Hare Rama referring to Balaram or to Lord Ramachandra, for there is no difference between them. However, it is offensive to think that Balaram is superior to Lord Ramchandra, or vice versa. Neophyte devotees do not understand this Shastric conclusion, and consequently they unnecessarily create an offensive situation. Some of our friends would like us to believe that we should only worship Lord Krishna, specifically Radha Krishna, and at least implicitly they give us the impression that Sitaram is somewhat less, or that worshipping Lakshmi Narayan is in some way less, or Bhuvaraha, or any of the other forms of the Lord. In fact, some of our enemies also would like us to accept this notion. But this is not what Srila Prabhupada is explaining here. There is a principle of transcendental distinction in which one can appreciate the different forms of the Lord in terms of various rasas, but one is incapable of discriminating on that transcendental platform until one has actually realized oneness. In other words, before we can appreciate the differences between the multi forms of the Lord, first we have to appreciate their oneness. And that oneness is being emphasized here in this Chaitanya Charitamrita purport by Srila Prabhupada. He particularly points out that we should be very careful not to make an artificial distinction between the various forms, or to think that one is better than the other in any way. They're not. They're absolutely the same. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarifies this in a very lucid way. Ishwaratve bhedam manile hoy aparadha. It is offensive for one to differentiate between the forms of the Lord. On the other hand, one should not think that the forms of the Lord are the same as the forms of demigods. This is certainly offensive, as confirmed in the Vaishnava Tantra, yastu narayanam devam brahmarudrali daivati. Savatvainaiva cheta sa pakhandi bhavet dhruvam. A pakhandi is one who considers the great demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana. That's from Hari Bhakti Vilas. The conclusion is that we should not differentiate between the forms of the Lord. However, we should not equate the forms of the Lord with the forms of demigods or human beings. For instance, sometimes foolish sannyasis equate Daridra Narayana with Narayana, and this is certainly offensive. To think of the body of the Lord as material is also offensive. Unless one is instructed by a bona fide spiritual master, he cannot perfectly understand these different forms. Brahma Samhita confirms Vedeshu Durlabham, Adurlabham, Atma Bhaktao. One cannot understand the differences between the forms of the Lord simply by academic study or by reading Vedic literature. One must learn from a realized devotee. Only then can one know how to distinguish between one form of the Lord and another. That sentence implies that there is a stage at which one distinguishes. So it's a question of adhikar, or qualification. Generally, for entry-level Krishna consciousness, one should not try to artificially distinguish between the forms of the Lord, because he will almost certainly commit offenses. But for one who is actually very accomplished, then it would seem that Srila Prabhupada implies here there is that possibility. The conclusion is that there is no difference between the forms of the Lord, but there is a difference between his forms and those of the demigods. So that's Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila chapter 9, text 155, regarding the Lord's multi-forms off of this emphasis that we see in today's purport on Lord Ram. So the next thing There are many things that Srila Prabhupada could have said here, many things that we've been given by our previous acharyas that Srila Prabhupada could have emphasized for his own purposes. Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the comments of Jiva Goswami. So, I'll continue with today's purport. Unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramchandra. One cannot see him with material eyes. Because demons like Ravana have no spiritual vision, they consider Lord Ramchandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. Ravana therefore attempted to kidnap Lord Ramchandra's eternal consort, Sita Devi. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita Devi in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hands, she gave him a material form, but she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the words Pratyak Prashantam indicate that Lord Ramchandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, keep themselves aloof from the influence of the material energy. In fact, Jiva Goswami even goes so far as to suggest that it's by the emphasis that we place on the Lord's Sarup Shakti, his internal energy, that we ourselves can also overcome the influence of his external energy, his Maya Shakti. That's something to think about. So Srila Prabhupada now continues with Jiva Goswami's argument, taken mostly from the Shrutis, the Upanishads. In the Upanishads it is said, Yam evaisha vrnate tena labhya. Anybody know that verse? Pretty well known. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyas namedaya na buhudha shrutena. One cannot have the soul, one cannot access the Supreme Lord simply by speaking nicely, pravachana, simply by having good intelligence, simply by learning. Yam evaisha vrnate tena labhya tasya isha atma vivinurte tanum swam. When the Lord chooses you, then you can access yourself. Through self-realization, you can also in turn understand the Lord. It's divine grace. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samasa sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Krishna says, this Brahman realization, self-realization, it's the substrate of bhakti. It's the foundation on which the house of bhakti is built. And it comes also through divine grace. Although some hint of it is possible, without divine grace, we cannot enter bhakti without divine grace. Therefore, we put our emphasis on the manifestation of the Lord's Sarup Shakti that is most relevant in our lives, his divine grace. Whose divine grace? Krishna's divine grace. Who's representing Srimati Radharani or Nityananda Prabhu. So, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the personality of Godhead, can be seen or perceived only by persons who are saturated with devotional service, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:38. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achintyagana swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyam Sundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. Similarly, in the Chandogya Upanishad, it is stated, Etas tisro devata anena jivena. In this verse of the Chandogya Upanishad, the word anena is used to distinguish the Atma and Paramatma as two separate identities. The words Titsro Devata indicate that the body of the living entity is made of three material elements, earth, fire, earth, and water. Although the Paramatma enters within the heart of the Jivatma, who is influenced and designated by a material body, the Paramatma has nothing to do with the Jivatma's body. He's not perverted by it. He's not contaminated.
Because the Paramatma has no material connections, he is described here as Anama Rupam Niraham.
What does Anama mean?
No name.
Arupam, no form.
Niraham, no me.
No I. So we'll get to what Sridhar Swami says about this in a minute. Very, very rich comments on these ideas because they can be potentially misleading.
The Paramatma has no material identity, whereas the Jivatma does. The Jivatma may introduce himself as an Indian, American, German, and so on. But the Paramatma has no such material designations, and therefore he has no material name.
Now, we know from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, is considered to be the external manifestation of the Super Soul. And we experienced that Srila Prabhupada would not be influenced by these material designations. He could not be, he couldn't be coerced to indulge in this kind of sarvopadhi, because he was sarvopadhi viniramuktam. No mundane designations. Therefore, sama sarveshu bhuteshu, he could see all living beings equally. He would not discriminate on the basis of mental concoction or socio-political bias or religious misconceptions, all these different things that influence us. This is all indicated by the words that our acharyas emphasize in their commentaries here. Pratyak prashantam. Pratyak means viparita, viparityam. To be perverted, to be in the wrong way, going in a different direction, to be averse, you can say. All these things are there, very pregnant with meaning here.
So Jivatma is different from his name, but the Paramatma is not. His name and he himself are one and the same. This is the meaning of Niraham, which means without material designations. The word cannot possibly be twisted to mean that the Paramatma has no ahankara, no I-ness or identity. He has his transcendental identity as the Supreme. This is the explanation given by Srila Jiva Goswami. According to another interpretation, given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Niraham means Nirnishchayena Aham. Niraham does not mean that the Supreme Lord has no identity. Rather, the stress given by the word Aham proves strongly that he does have his personal identity, because Nir not only means negative, but also means strong ascertainment. That's beautiful, isn't it? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Niraham doesn't mean that he's got no aham. It means he's definitely aham. In fact, he's paramaham, the supreme aham, the supreme I. Or as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said before, the transcendental despot. Transcendental autocrat is another one he says. So, now, Sridhar Swami has taken this verse apart. We can say in academic language, he's unpacked this verse in the following ways. So what time is it now? Okay, I'll try to be quick. Ekam Vedanteshu Prasiddham Tattvam. So Ekam means that which is established in the Vedanta as one. And we know the famous Shruti mantra we've heard Srila Prabhupada quote many times. Ekam Advitiyam. One without a second. Now Vishuddha Yasya Sarupam Anubhava Vishuddha. His swarup is absolutely pure. Because he is absolutely pure, therefore he's prashanta. He's showing a progression between these different forms, or these different terms. Whatever characteristics are listed in this verse, there are about eight of them. Sridhar Swami is showing that there's a progression here. Because he's one without a second, therefore he's Vishuddha. He's absolutely pure. Because he's Vishuddha, therefore, he is prashanta. He is absolutely peaceful. He's not agitated under any circumstances. Pratyak prashanta means he's also not perverted under any circumstances, as Srila Prabhupada has already explained.
We get the essence of these commentaries in Prabhupada's purport, and in fact, even in his translation. If you carefully read this translation in particular and are familiar with the previous Acharya's commentaries, you can spot where is Srila Prabhupada picking and choosing each and every word of his translation. Therefore, one has to be careful. Srila Prabhupada warned us if not to change a single word. And he said in particular with regard to hearing from others that if he even says one word differently, then you will become confused. It's true, because he's chosen these words very, very carefully. For example, here we have in the third sentence of a translation, because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. That's just hinting at what Jiva Goswami has explained, as we've mentioned already, the importance of the Lord's Sarup Shakti, Shrimati Radharani. Just a hint, but it's incorporated into his translation. It's not explicit in the verse, just as the name of Ramchandra is not explicit in this verse. These things are all coming from the previous Acharya's commentaries. So, then he says, Dvastagunam, the modes of material nature are destroyed, Swatejasa, in other words, Swaprakasha, from his own light. His own light in the form of his own Sarup Shakti and her influence upon us. Daivim prakritim ashrataha. When we take shelter of the Lord's internal energy, then the influence of his external energy, trigunatmaka, in the form of these three modes, they're dvasta. That's mentioned here. Swatejasa, dvasta guna vyavastham. Then he says, anama rupam. Srila Prabhupada has already perfectly explained this. It means no perversion. There's, unlike the jiva, there's no false name. His name is real, and he is his name. Our names are not real, and we are not our names or forms. Same thing goes. Then, nir aham, we've also, same thing is there. And finally, what is the word here used? Sudhiya, by pure intelligence, upalambhanam, he can be attained. This is the idea. Shuddha chittena, upalabdhyata. This is what Sridhar Swami says. When our consciousness is pure, then we can attain the Lord, we can appreciate the Lord. So these are a few things we can think about with regards to this verse. And we'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions? Archita Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a nice presentation. It would seem that the statements of the Acharyas and the Shastras in relation to the Lord's qualities and the reality that the Lord expresses himself seem to differ. For instance, let's take this one word, prashanta, that the Lord is peaceful. But then we have Lord Nrisingadev, who is so supremely angry that he won't be pacified by anyone except Prahlad. Prahlad even specifically says, my dear Lord, please now give up your anger now that the demon Hiranyakashipu has been killed and all the worlds are, you know, waiting to take shelter of you. So it seems, you know, there's the dichotomy between what's stated and what the reality that the Lord himself presents. You know, other forms of the Lord also exhibit anger. So how can you say somebody's peaceful and they display such supreme anger?
Very good point. The Lord's anger is not the anger that is produced of the modes of material nature. Just as his name is not a material name, just as his form is not a material name, his sense of ego is not a material ego. So his anger is also of the same transcendental category. All these things are there. For example, let's take Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Jayato vishayan pungsang sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho bhijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibhrama smriti bhrangshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. This same principle applies equally whether you're in the Mahamaya or whether you're in the Daivimaya, doesn't it? If you contemplate the objects, the spiritual sense objects, then you become attached to them. From that attachment, you will develop some desire. From your desire, you will manifest some anger. Srila Prabhupada got angry at some time. Many times Srila Prabhupada displayed anger at demons and mayavadis who try to interpret that niraham means the Lord has no eye, Anama Rupa means he has no name or form. So in the same way, if the devotees are sharing in the Lord's nature to that degree, viparita, the word here, pratyak, the acharyas say, means viparita. What does it mean? Averse. Yeah. Averse, inverse, reverse, perverted, many, many subtleties that are here in this word. But opposition. The Lord can oppose those who oppose him. Samoham sarvabhuteshu na medveshyasti na priya. But if someone opposes the Lord, then the Lord will oppose that person. That's his transcendental anger. He himself is not, he's peaceful, but in response to the activities of others, he can show anger. But it's always of this transcendental category. Is that okay?
Thank you for a very nice class. You explained very nicely the difference between explained how Prabhupada is explaining the difference between that Rama can mean either Lord Ramachandra or Lord Balaram. One shouldn't distinguish like that.
Parashurama also.
And Parashurama also.
Rama Ramascha Ramascha, Vishnu Purana says. Ramo Ramascha Ramascha. It seems redundant, but there's one is Balaram, one is Ramchandra, one is Parashurama.
And so I just wanted to ask you that the name Rama is the name for the goddess of fortune, right? But that's not what we're chanting when we're chanting Hari Rama, is it?
No. Well, it is, in a sense. In the sense that Hara and Rama are the same entity, but the Rama is not the Rama. If we say Rama Ramana, Madhvacharya says, Rama Ramana, he worships the Lord as Rama Ramana, the enjoyer of Rama, that is to say Narayana. Rama is the goddess of fortune. Hara is also the supreme goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani. So Hari Rama, or Hari Krishna, Hari Rama may mean Radhika Ramana, or just as Rama Ramana may indicate Lakshmi Narayana.
Thank you.
So just to
clarify, so we have three possibilities. What we can think of, right? I mean, it's Ramchandra, Balaram, and you mentioned the third, Radha Rama. When we chant Rama.
Well, there's Parashurama also. Prabhupada elsewhere mentions with regards to this Hari Rama controversy.
Uh-huh.
Balaram, Ramchandra, he also says if someone wants to worship Parashurama, why not? He's also Ram.
He's four. In other words, can Rama, can we think of a Rama in our Hari Rama as Krishna himself in relation to Radharani, Radha Raman. Because I've seen that. Manidhi's book.
Yeah.
You can, right?
It would be a good idea, I think. However, you also have to understand this principle. As we said in the beginning, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. Rama can also be understood in the most generic sense as referring to each and every one of the Lord's forms. Not as a proper noun, in other words, but as an adjective, as an attribute. He is the supreme enjoyer. That refers equally to Vishnu, to Varaha, to Prana, to any of the Lord's forms. So that's why we need to understand this, what we call sambandhagyan, before we can really go into this transcendental variegatedness too much. As we said, it's a good question of adhikar, it would seem. Okay. We'll stop there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.